I want to continue our message today in 1 Peter. With 1 Peter chapter 3, we preached through verse 4, but I'm going to reread verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 today. It's the beginning of a new week, and some may not have heard the messages last week, so I'm going to just briefly read these four verses, and then we'll go from there today. So if you can have your Bible open, that will be a real help. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, I made it very clear that there is no alternative. There is the statement, and that's what God said do, and there is no alternative. Likewise, ye wives, now he's talking to Christian wives. He is not talking to unsaved wives. However, anything that a Christian does that is good would be good for an unsaved wife. But just the same, he's talking to Christian, born-again wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation or by the manner of life of the wife. Now, notice here, if they obey not the word. I frankly think the emphasis here is on the Christian husband who is not obeying the word of God. You see, what an unsaved man needs to do is get saved. Now, he goes on to say, without the word, be one. In other words, if he will not listen to the word of God, which is very clear and very plain on the subject of the home and the family and upon the head of the house that he is supposed to be, then you can win him over to that by the conversation. Our problem is, and I made this statement I think as well, or something similar, our problem is so many, even of our Christian wives, do not want to come under the subjection of their husband. Consequently, they're making no effort whatsoever to bring about the harmony in that family that ought to be there. I have also said that there are men who are weak and absolutely just not real men at all who will allow the wife to take over and not follow the scriptures, not do what God tells him to do, and with the thought that, well, now she is responsible. But the Bible makes it very clear that the man is responsible. Now he says, while they behold your chaste conversation or your manner of life, coupled with fear. All right, now that fear, of course, is reverential fear to the Lord. So you love the Lord, and you love the Lord first. I know I said it last week. I'm sure that I did, because I know that it needs to be said, and I want it said maybe more than once while we're dealing with this particular section of Scripture. The Bible does not instruct wives to sin because their husband wants them to. Now, make that very, very clear in your mind today. There is no such thing as God commanding a person to sin under any circumstances. You've heard the expression, and how good it is, how wonderful it is. It is not right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. You see, my dear friend, this is talking about women living right and doing what God says in the Bible, but never does man's authority supersede the authority of God. Now, he goes into verse 3, and he tells you how not to win your husband over to the position that he ought to be in. Any good godly wife, any good Christian wife, ought to want her husband to be what he ought to be, and want him to be the head of the house. So let's keep going here now. In verse 3, he says, don't do it. This is what he's talking about. For those of you who have taken these things and made doctrines and separation doctrines out of them, I beg to disagree with you. I have to disagree with you because it is not in the context of the scripture that I'm reading. There are other scriptures that tell women how they ought to dress. and they should dress modestly. There are scriptures in the Old Testament that refers, whether it's in direct application to us today or not, the principle is there that women ought not to wear men's clothes, and men ought not to wear women's clothes. God has always at least had the principle of man being man and woman being woman. He created Adam and Eve. Somebody said he didn't create Adam and Steve. He did not create two men nor two women. He created man and woman, intended for them to stay that way for the purpose of propagating the earth. Now, let's go on. When you've got this modern-day sodomy crowd, they're trying to get their recognition and their rights. Well, they can get it from the world, but they cannot get it from the Bible. They cannot get it from God's people, because God's people know how they ought to act and how they ought to dress, and there are many scriptures in the Bible that tells them that. But this scripture is referring to the wife bringing her husband around to the position of taking his place of leadership in the home. All right, now he says, who's adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning. All right, then look right down at verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. And so the adorning then that you put on to win your husband to his position where he ought to be as the head of the house, as the one who takes the responsibility, your order here is don't do it with outward appearance. Don't try to do it with outward appearance of any kind, whether it's making yourself look better, which of course every wife should look as good as they possibly can. It's a shame that, and I'll just have to just stop off and say it here, I was hoping that I could move right on through, but it's a shame and a disgrace that many women, when they start to go out to the grocery store, or they go out to the doctor, or they go out to a party of some kind, or they go out in public, they work and dress themselves real nicely, and they work with their hair and work with their fingernails, and they work and take plenty of time putting on the powders and the perfumes and all the rest that makes them attractive. And yet when their husband comes home from work, they meet him, if they meet him at all, in the door, standing there with some sort of an old house coat on, some kind of an old wrinkled, dirty coat, and the hair rolled up, and face not washed and cleaned, and no real attraction for the husband when he comes home from a hard day's work. So he says, but that's what I'm saying here is, let the hidden man of the heart be what brings your husband around to taking his position. Now, since I've already made myself clear on the wearing of gold and dressing nicely and that kind of thing, and becoming being as attractive as you can without overdoing it, without following the ways of the world, without wearing what the world wears that they think is attractive, or without getting into some modern day kind of some sort of style that is supposed to be attractive for women, when it comes out of some of the dirtiest rat holes, if you might call it that, of the fashion world. Now, I didn't say the whole fashion world was a dirty rat hole. Don't you quote me as saying that. I didn't. I said that many of these fashion people want to see how much of the woman they can uncover whenever they design the clothes for them. And then because it's fashionable, then poor women, they run off to the copy houses and try to find something that appears like these modern day fashions. Well, now the Lord says don't do that. He says, if you want your husband to be what he ought to be, you want him to take his place as the head of the house, he says, don't try to do it with adornment of the outside and the putting on of apparel, but do it with the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. In other words, don't try to demand things of your husband. Don't put yourself in a position of criticizing him and lambasting him all the time because he doesn't do the things that you think he ought to do, but have a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. And so if you have that meek and quiet spirit, then you will find yourself leading your husband in the right direction if he is not already following the word of God. Now, I've repeated there, but I don't think I've wasted the time, and we'll pick up with verse 5 on the program tomorrow.